let's move along here. The objectives of the work was to look at a couple of different nitrogen rates and a couple of different sources of nitrogen on the productivity of switchgrass, and also the nutrient dynamics and the uptake by the plant, build up in the soil, and also surface runoff losses. This was under a thin stand of loblolly, and we've got a picture of it here. There. There's some canopy there, but it's pretty open compared to, if you look down on the lower right-hand side there, a stand that was never thinned. This particular study was built upon, superimposed upon one that was begun in 2001 that had fairly large plots of either Indian grass, big blue stem, switchgrass, or a mix of big blue stem and Indian grass, in which there were six reps of each one of those, and just used the six reps of the switchgrass, to which on which there were five subplots laid out of 5 meters square each, with five treatments, no fertilizer or either urea or poultry litter at an application rate equal to 80 or 160 kilos of nitrogen per hectare. This little area here contained, unlike an earlier presentation on the Blackland in Texas, this had, the overall area was a lot smaller than any one of those plots, and this one area had three different soils. So it's rather important to do some blocking here with the northernmost part of the study area consisting of soil that had a fairly shallow BT horizon, a good bit of ironstone in it, to the southwest, and that's the layout there is north, south, east, and west as oriented, and the southeast part being rather deep sand. Now, these plots were harvested in their entirety in the late fall, early winter, measured for dry mass and tissue composition. Now, poultry litter that was applied over the 4 years of the study from 2010-2013 was that, with a phosphorus to nitrogen ratio just a hair above 50%. Besides doing the harvesting and the digestion for nutrient composition of the tissue, the soil was sampled in the upper 15 centimeters and also deeper too, but I don't have that data as of yet. It'll make it better later. And if the surface soils, the standard analysis were for Mehlig 3 extractable nutrients, pH, and organic carbon. For the heck of it, before starting this thing, since I intended to include some runoff here, and I had been a little bit leery about some of this soil here, according to soil survey data, has a rather high hydraulic conductivity. Took a look at the hydraulic conductivity before installing these, but nevertheless went ahead despite the average hydraulic conductivity of 20 centimeters an hour, putting out runoff plots. These plots were, I think, fairly standard national phosphorus such a study, and about 3/4 of a meter by 2 meters long with a trough. These were stainless steel embedded in the soil and drained from the trough into a sunken reservoir downslope. Three pairs of plots and three of the switchgrass plots, one in a no fertilizer plot and one in a plot that had poultry litter applied at 160 kilos of nitrogen per hectare, and for comparison, three under that dense stand of pine. Check these reservoirs every rainfall and determine runoff volume on the basis of weight. Determine pH, solids, chemical oxygen demand, total phosphorus, and dissolved reactive phosphorus. is the data, the plant data, the soil data, and the annual runoff loads were analyzed as repeated measures, and there were some regressions done. Results and discussion. Yield composition uptake. Yields are rather disappointing for what you would expect for switchgrass, with a national average probably being somewhere around 12 or 13 metric tons per hectare. However, there were some differences in among the treatments, with the fertilized treatments producing more than the unfertilized treatments, and generally the higher the rate of fertilization, the greater the yield. Across the 4 years of the study, although there were differences due to treatments, there was no increasing trend in productivity, even though some of the plots had been fertilized for 4 years. Rather a stable situation, apparently suggesting that whatever the effect was, it was limited in time to the year of application. Nutrient composition of tissue and uptake. Where the grass was fertilized with poultry litter, there was greater tissue concentration of phosphorus and potassium and others, only two shown there. And correspondingly, there was a greater uptake, at least for phosphorus, for the plots fertilized with poultry waste. But relative to the amount of phosphorus that was applied, the use efficiency was rather low, being about 4 or 3% respectively for the high and low application rates of poultry litter. Of course, these numbers of uptake are strongly influenced by when the stuff was cut. If you cut it early, you have a higher composition of mineral content of the tissue. The first year, I cut this in late September, early October, and succeeding years it was into December, January, so forth, and the concentrations fell off, and correspondingly the removal rates, uptake, were reduced. There was a relationship of tissue concentration and uptake to the concentration of nutrients, particularly phosphorus, in the soil. Just looking at it, it looks like it's a pretty poor relationship, but SAS swears to me that it was significant, so I'll go with it. Fertility. Soil fertility, upper 15 centimeters. Where urea was applied, the pH was significantly lower, as one would likely expect. Where poultry litter was applied, containing bases, and including calcium, the pH was significantly increased, but it still, regardless, was fairly acidic soil. I don't know that the 3 times 4 tons of poultry litter was applied, or 6 times 4 metric tons of poultry litter applied per hectare had any effect on the amount of organic carbon in the upper part of the soil. Significant. One was significant, but it seems odd that the lower rate of poultry litter application would be significant and not the higher, perhaps. And of course, the content of bases was increased where the poultry litter was applied, which would be a good thing. Runoff water quality. Not much water came off these plots. With the high hydraulic conductivity, one would not expect a whole lot of water to come off. And as one would expect, there probably would be less runoff under forest than it would be under grass, and so was the case here. There was no difference in measures of solids and chemical oxygen demand between plots that were fertilized at the higher rate of poultry litter and not fertilized at all. Curiously, and I don't know if it's significant, if it's truly, statistically, yes, but meaningfully significant, I don't know. There were higher losses of dissolved solids and chemical and oxygen-consuming substances from the forest than from the switchgrass. Of course, where you put out a lot of phosphorus, there's more phosphorus in the runoff. Comparing the high rate of poultry litter application to no fertilization or forest, you know, about a threefold or more increase in total and dissolved phosphorus. So about 0.2 or 0.1 kilos per hectare of phosphorus loss of environmental concern? I don't know. what you call it? It's happening under forest, and this is low. It's this low fertility soil. That's nature. As a matter of fact, in this part of the world, there was a study. It's a little aside. A mandated TMDL done on a waterway, and the conclusion was that all man-made sources need to be reduced X percent, and all natural non-port sources need to be reduced Y percent. And it's rather difficult to reduce natural non-point sources, right? Apparently, there are natural non-port sources even of phosphorus here. There was no relationship between either dissolved reactive phosphorus or total phosphorus and the level of malic 3 phosphorus in the soil. Certainly, one would be skeptical that that would be the case where poultry litter is applied, because the litter itself is the source, not necessarily the soil. The phosphorus, the annual phosphorus loads, being largely delivered in the first few runoff events as the litter was extracted. But for the soil itself, no significant relationship between concentration of malic 3 phosphorus and the volume weighted annual concentration of phosphorus in the runoff. Taking a look at the fate of phosphorus in this soil. As 1, 2, 3, 4 applications of poultry litter were applied, the concentration of malic 3 increased in a nice linear fashion. Perhaps it will, if this study had been continued further, it would have continued in a nice linear fashion, or perhaps it would have tapered off, as one might expect, assuming that that phosphate is retained by in a nonlinear fashion, you know, Langmuir isotherm or something like that. But if you do a little algebra on the soil data here, like multiply by the bulk density of the soil, it is surprising how much of the total phosphorus that was applied is still found in the upper 15 centimeters of the soil, despite the fact that there's little runoff and under an environment where there's about 150 centimeters of annual rainfall. But doing that algebra and calculating recoveries as the increase in malic 3 times the bulk density plus uptake plus runoff divided by the amount applied, very good recoveries. And these recoveries do not seem to have changed much with increasing numbers of applications. And bear in mind, too, that this is malic phosphorus. It's not total phosphorus. And this is a soil where there's a lot of water going through it. So I conclude that this particular example of switchgrass agroforestry is a bit low in productivity. However, I'm out. I'm good.
No, you're good.
Okay. Didn't mention this earlier, but on first year of the study, looked at photoactive light radiation. And there was a very, very weak relationship between productivity and the amount of light that was there. So I don't think light is a serious problem. Little response to fertilization, maybe about a 10-plus percent improvement in productivity with fertilization. Very little nutrient removal, particularly when the grass is cut late in the season. High accumulation of phosphorus in the surface soil, little loss, and this mass balance to be confirmed in subsequent work that there was negligible leaching beneath the upper 15 centimeters of soil. And if this type of system is your thing for aesthetics, for hunting birds, for hunting rabbits, poultry litter can be used at least for several years with apparently negligible environmental impact.
All right, thank you.
Okay.